So we're going to pick up in John 15. If you remember last week, we talked about the world versus God, right? That it is, as a child of God, you're to not concern yourself with the things of the world in the sense that you allow them to dictate who you are. It is God who dictates who you are. That you seek their things, as right Morgan shared, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, right? Being the righteousness of God, being concerned about the things of God, being concerned about being righteous and being that light and that example in this world and being that ambassador for Christ. Well, what you're going to find is that when you focus on those things and you do those things, the world is going to react to you. As we spoke last week, that the world will separate from you. We do not separate ourselves from the world, right? We are aliens passing through, right? Our home and our final destination is eternity and is at rest with the Lord. But we still have to live in this world, right? And we live in this world, as we said, being righteous. Well, take a look at John 15 here, starting in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Being separated from the world and being the righteousness of God means you are going to be hated because it hates him. God is polar opposite of the world. God's holiness and righteousness is not of the world. The things of the world are the things of Satan. Therefore, they cannot coexist. Right? And this is why God sent Jesus Christ in the first place, is that we can be redeemed to a holy God, because you were born dead in the trespasses of sin. You were born an enemy of God. But because the world hates righteousness, it hates God, and therefore they hated Jesus Christ. If you were of the world would love it, its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. If you go around doing the things that the world does, everybody accepts you. That should be even more clear and apparent today. I mean, just look at the world. If you like the things that they like, you say the things that they say, you do the things that they do, the world accepts you. And they preach tolerance and acceptance and love as long as you're doing the things that they do. But if you are living contrary to the world and you're living righteously and you're walking in a manner worthy of your calling, then this world will absolutely despise and hate you because the world hates God. It's that simple. It's that clear. That's not what they say, though, is it? Everybody says they love God, right? I bet if you asked anybody, they're going to say, except for maybe some really hardcore atheists or something out there that don't believe in anything, they're going to say they love God. Well, what is Scripture saying about loving God? If you want to call me your friend, or if you say that you love me, you will obey my commandments. Yeah. And the world is diametrically opposed to God. And that the world hates things that are righteousness. Well, if we have been separated by God, right, and this world has separated itself from us, we cannot walk in the ways of the world, and we cannot live the ways of the world, but we still have to live in this world, and this world is going to continue to hate you because it hates God. And this is where he gets into the whole suffering thing, right? That if you suffer because of Christ, count it as a blessing. If somebody hates you because of your righteousness, and I'm not talking about your self-righteousness, this righteousness that we have that we stick our noses up in the air and we think we're better than anybody else, because we're not, right? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if the world hates you because of the righteousness of God that is in you, consider that a blessing. Remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And he's speaking here directly to the disciples at the time, right? That the teachings of Christ, if you carry those teachings of Christ and they really do, really truly love the Lord, then they will accept the words that you're saying. But the world will hate you because it hated him. They will persecute you because it persecuted them. All right, each of the early church was persecuted all over the place. And that was God's will because it helped spread the word of God to the rest of the world. But people will persecute you today if you are living righteously. Again, not going out and making a busybody and forcing the word of God on anyone, but being righteous. Living a righteous life will lead to the world hating you and persecuting you. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. Do you consider when the world tears down upon you, right? When you did something and you know what you did was right and you take it before God and God tells you what you did was right through the Holy Spirit and Scripture and brings everything down on you, you did it for the glory of God. And again, not something that I did and wouldn't force myself, but because of who I am, I'm persecuted. If I had not come and spoken to them, I'm sorry, my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me, right? Because they do not know the Father. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin, but now they have no excuse for sin. Christ was sent as the final message to man from God. There's no more need for prophets. There's no more angels coming to bring the messages of God to the world. God sent his Son. God allowed and gave the power to Christ. And again, Christ did nothing on his own initiative. He did everything by the order of God. But we have no excuse for sin. The world has no more excuses, has no way to say, I didn't know better. I couldn't possibly have known that. Because Christ came and brought judgment to this world. And he will come again and will finally judge the world. But God has sent his final warning through his Son, Jesus Christ. He who hates me hates my Father also. Ultimately, if you reject Jesus Christ, you are rejecting Almighty God. That is the one true great sin of all sins, is the rejection of Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus Christ is the redemption and the remediation to God, and there is no other way. Rejection of Christ is a rejection of God, rejection of righteousness, and rejection of all that is holy in God. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. Right? Such a mistake that people have who have not been taught by God, that the miracles of Christ were performed to show the power and the glory of God and the power that had been granted to him, and that that power was approved by God. And that these men now had no excuse, the world had no excuse because Jesus had come and brought the message of God and has shown the power and the authority of God. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. The nature of man is contrary to God. Our very nature of that we are each and every one of us born with makes us an enemy of God. And the world is naturally rejecting God and naturally rejects Christ. Well, that means they're going to naturally hate and reject you. But it's they're rejecting Christ that is within you. Because you have been made holy as a child of God and have been separated from this world. Let's take a look at 1 John 5. starting in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. God will give you the faith that allows you to be born again by his grace and his mercy. And it's that belief and that faith in Christ, and again, more than just hollow words, right? People can say, I believe in this, I believe in that, very easily. But that belief that God gave you, that allows you to confess with the heart and confess with the tongue that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is Lord. But whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him, right? It all comes back to God ultimately, right? That love leads to a love of God in a relationship. By this we know that we love the children of God. There should be no dissension between anybody here or any other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ throughout the world, right? The universal church. That if you love God and you love Jesus, well, you love each and everybody that is also a child of God. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. Right? If you say you love God, you observe his commandments. Because nothing should please you more in this life. And this is the joy that even Morgan was talking about, right? Is that when you are in that relationship, and when you are living as you are to live and you are called to live, you are obeying the commandments, the tenets, the principles of God, that you have that relationship and that fellowship with God. That fellowship is an amazing thing. And when we allow ourselves to submit our own authority that we think we have, that we never did have, but we submit to the authority of Almighty God, and we live our lives accordingly. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Is it burdensome for you to keep the commandments? If it is, you need to have a very long conversation with God. Because for children of God, his burdens are not, or his commandments are not burdensome, because he has given you the Spirit to carry them out. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in each and every one of his children that we are able to do things that we are asked to do by God. Because it's our natural state of who we truly are. If you're struggling and you're fighting, yes, we all will struggle and fight in moments against our own flesh, right? But as you grow and mature and you allow the Holy Spirit to put those things to death, there should be no burden. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. For children of God, we've learned and we're being taught by God that the world doesn't matter and the things of the world do not matter. This is the freedom that Lloyd's always talking about, right? This is the freedom that Scripture teaches us. I don't have to wear white on Labor Day or after Labor Day or whatever it is, right? Terry laughs every time. Right, is that you don't have to care anymore about the do's and the don'ts of the world. The only thing you need to care about is who you are. Am I acceptable to God? Am I doing the things of God? Am I living a life that shows the righteousness of God that lives within me? Is that my focal point? Again, going back to what Morgan said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Is God's righteousness the forefront thought of who you are and what you do? And if it isn't, what are you doing to make it? Yeah, it's a lifelong process, right? I'll be the first to admit, I don't always put it God first. And I doubt anybody here who can raise their hand and say that they do. But are you doing anything about it? Because if you do, that's how you overcome this world. Focusing on eternity, focusing on the righteousness of God, and living that life as you are called to live by God allows you to simply unburden yourself from the world. This is where you no longer care what anybody else thinks, but you only care, you do care in the sense that how does it reflect, your actions reflect God. But I really don't care what this person's fighting and arguing with that other person. I don't care about this side of the political aisle or that side of the political aisle or whatever I'm supposed to be riled up about today on social media versus whatever I'm going to be riled up tomorrow about on social media. It doesn't rile me up anymore. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. That faith that has been given to you by Almighty God, that you have been blessed and graced with. A faith that allows you to live a life of righteousness. Who is the one who overcomes this world but he who believes in Jesus, the Son of God? Let's take a look at Hebrews now. Chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Your life that has been given to you by God should be a life of peace. Don't go around sticking your nose in other people's business. Don't go around causing problems. Don't go around complaining and griping and mumbling, again, as Morgan went back and said, right? That peaceable life where you do the best that you can do to get along with everybody else. Having known what we just said, though, that the world hates you and is going to treat you as if it does hate you. But you have a responsibility, as it says here, to live peaceably with everybody around you as best as you can. They're going to heap trouble upon you. But as Christ told us, right, you are to turn the other cheek. You are to go the extra mile. You are to give them your cloak as well as your coat. The reason being that the sanctification with which no one will see the Lord, right? You are an ambassador for Christ. By showing that peace, by showing how you respond when the world rains down upon you, shows that same grace and mercy that God showed you, that others might be drawn to redemption through you, right? Through an act or your how you respond. And it's ultimately through Jesus Christ, right? But that Christ living within you, how you treat others, that God may use you as a means to withdraw or to draw others to him for the possibility of redemption. And I don't think we focus on that so much in our lives. That when we interact with people, not only at home, with the children and husbands and wives, our family members and our extended family members, those people that we work with, the people that we interact with every day in clubs or society or whatever you have or in your relationships, individuals on the street, at the supermarket, wherever. Be peaceable. Turn the other cheek so that you might show the grace and the mercy of God. Look at Romans 12, 9 through 21, excuse me. Let love be without hypocrisy. There are a lot of hypocrites out there who call themselves Christians. Say one thing, do another. That's a hypocrite. Paying lip service to somebody is no good. It is worthless, it is vain, and is pointless. And if anything, if you say one thing and you do another, how is that reflecting that love and that grace and the mercy that God showed you? You are to live a life that shows love. Show the world the love that was shown to you. Allow God's light to shine through you. Allow God to show that love to others through you by the life that you live that shows a life of love. Abhor what is evil. This world is full of evil things. Everywhere you look, especially in today's society, evil is no longer hidden. It is laid bare before the eyes of everyone. And, you know, Lloyd said something a couple of weeks ago, kind of struck me when he was talking about, man, you probably shouldn't be teaching your kids these things that we wouldn't have dreamed, or our parents or our grandparents would not have dreamed about teaching us until we were older, because it is laid so openly bare before us in this world. Online, in social media, video games, television, casual conversation, and even in schools, the things that kids are being subjected to today. We need to teach our children what is evil and to abhor, right? To abhor is to absolutely hate it. Now, I don't hate the person, right? But I hate the evil, and it's a righteous hate. You cannot stand the things that are evil. We do not accept them. Just as God is holy and cannot in any way, shape, or form have any sort of existence or relationship with evil, we are not to either, because you have been separated by Almighty God as a holy instrument of God. Therefore, you cannot associate with things that are evil. Do not partake in evil things. This is, you know, the Bible warns you of all sorts of things. Things from like palm reading to fortune telling. Those things are the devil. Flee them. Do not partake. Cling to what is good, though. The only thing that is good is what? God. Right? Only God is good. Cling to the things of God. Hold fast to God and His Holy Scripture. Hold fast to your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is your rock, your source, your truth, your shield, and your portion B. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Just as we had previously read, right? We are each brothers and sisters in Christ. If you say you love God and you say you love Jesus, then you love your brothers and your sisters. Be devoted to each and every person here and each and every other child of God. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Each and every one of us need to be as diligent as the other in our walk and in our brotherhood and fellowship with each other, in our fellowship with Jesus Christ and God. Fervent in spirit. We each need to burn for God, right? A few weeks ago, right, when I had a chance to share with the letters of the churches from Revelation, right? Do not be warm. Do not be okay. Be fervent. Be on fire. Be hot, right? In that letter he wrote to the church, he said, rather you be hot or cold, because if you're cold, you at least have a chance to become hot again, right? Because you know you're cold. Eventually you'll realize it. But if you're warm, it's going to spit you out. Be fervent. Be on fire for the Lord. Each and every one of us should be rushing to get in here on Sunday to worship, right? As Terry was sharing in Sunday school this morning about the creatures that are around the throne of God and everybody singing worthy, worthy, right? Holy, holy, holy. That He is worthy of all worship and praise, and that He is the most important thing in our life, and we should be bursting at the seams to come in here and to sing praises to Almighty God. That we cannot wait to be here. We cannot wait to come into Sunday school and hear from and be taught by God. We cannot wait to come in and worship. We cannot wait to come in and hear the Word of God that's shared in the Scripture reading and in the sermon that's being shared with us. That the things of God are what just get us going each and every day. That He is the reason we get up and get out of bed, and He is the reason that we live the way we do. Be fervent serving the Lord. Be fervent in your spiritual service to God. Being that light and that example, and showing that love and that grace and mercy that was shown to you, to others around you. Rejoicing in hope, we should all be glad and excited together in the hope of Jesus Christ, right? That he was raised from the dead as an acceptance of Almighty God for our transgressions. And that our hope is in Jesus Christ and ultimately in God. And we should all be thankful and rejoicing together. Persevering in tribulation. As we all suffer in this world and the things of the world to come along with us, we are all to cry together as well as laugh together in those moments. Celebrate and weep with each other. I don't think we realize how important we all are to each other here. That is the body of Christ. We come together to worship God. But we also come together in fellowship and support of each other and to show that love that was shown to us to each other. Devoted to prayer. We talked a little bit about prayer in Sunday school this morning too. The time that we spend with God, taking things to God, right? As Terry read, right? The prayers of the saints are lifted up before God as an offering. Do you ever think of that that way? And as Morgan was also going back and saying that now we're praying his will, that we're devoted that his will be done. And we're constantly, without ceasing, praying. Contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. Are we meeting each other's needs? Are we helping each other in living? Again, needs, not wants. Again, as Morgan read, right? All these things that are needed, not what you want. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. You know why they're persecuting you? We just read it, right? They're persecuting you because of God. You are to bless them because it shows who you are. But at the same time, you're also to pray for them. Bless and do not curse. If you hate your brother and you say that you love God, you're a liar. Because there's no love in you. How can you curse someone? You only curse people you hate. And if you're cursing somebody, then there's no love in you. And then you're not of God, as we just read. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There it is. Be of the same mind towards one another. Right? We all have the same mind, the mind of Christ. Be of the same mind. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Scripture says a lot about pride and arrogance. Do not think so highly of yourself. Matter of fact, Christ says we are to think more highly of others than ourselves. You're to live a life that shows that love and that grace and the mercy means you care more about other people than you care about yourselves, especially your brothers and sisters in here. Do not be wise in your own estimation. I think a few weeks ago, Lloyd said the more he's learned, the less he realizes he knows. It's the same. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. You have been saved by grace and mercy through faith, right, that you received. Isn't anything you did. I never was worthy. I never could be worthy because I was never worthy and it was never of anything that I did, but it was all about what he did. Keeps me humble. I cannot look at another individual and say their sin stinks more than mine, because I know all sin is an affront to God, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Be humble. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? Someone does you wrong, don't respond with evil with evil. Instead, show love, show grace, and show mercy to them as you were shown. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Now again, as long as it's not contrary to God, we respect what is right in the sight of all men. Meaning, if people think it's the right thing to do, as long as it's not contrary to what God says it's to do, then I'm to do it, because I'm to not make trouble. As we just read, we're to live peaceably, doing it as best as we can to get along with all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That ultimate vengeance comes in the great and terrible day of the Lord, where those who have not received the Holy Spirit and not been set apart and born again as children of God will suffer the ultimate wrath of God, an eternity in hell and fire and damnation, and separated from Almighty God. I don't want that for anybody. And because I don't want that for anybody, I'm going to show that love that God showed me. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. By showing that grace and the mercy, they may come to the realization of who they are and what they are. Because they've treated you so terribly, but you have done nothing but respond in love. That they might recognize that there is a God. That by doing so, you show them that there may be a means of redemption yet for them. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.